Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. I'm Jerry McCarty here with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Raymond.
What a cheers. Cheers. What a cheers.
Oh, and we got a special guest. It's our Memorial Day episode. And Mark staggered into the bar. So we've got
Mark's been here since 3 o'clock drinking.
Yeah, so Mark the author is here.
Memorial Day weekend, so what are you going to do?
And so, Mark, feel free to chime into the podcast. And
oh, he'll chime in.
He's a special effects guy.
He'll chime in, all right.
Oh, nice, nice. It's going to take a lot to make this podcast look pretty.
Jingle bells.
But anyway, we got a good show for you. We've got some mail we're gonna do, and as always, we'll have a Rick story.
I love when we get the post-its from people.
We like that, and we have post-its. We have questions.
Post-its,
we have questions from our listeners, questions and comments. So anyway, let's start the podcast. So you want to start with our war movie being Memorial
Day?
We're
talking about some war. I mean, I don't know if we could pin it down to one movie,
right.
But we could talk about some of the best war movies, huh? What do you think? Let's do that.
Okay. Well, I'll give you mine, and I know my favorite is Glory from the Civil War, Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick.
Good.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Denzel won a supporting actor for that. But you told me that we should probably, because I think Memorial Day was World War I. Is really when they started. So
yeah.
We should start
us against
that.
Another country.
So I'm going to go.
It doesn't count. We fight ourselves.
that's right.
That's not a good war.
Good point. That's really not a war.
We kind of lose. Somehow we lose. Even if we win.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I'm going to change mine. I'm going to go with Memphis Belle. You ever see Memphis Belle?
Oh.
I love
that's a musical with Judy Holliday.
No. Although
came out the same time as Top Gun, right?
No, around that time, it's about World War II.
Go ahead and pick top.
It's about World War II, and they're in this old B-17 bomber, whatever they used to use back then. And Matthew Modine is like the pilot, and D.B. Sweeney's in it, and it's a great movie. Harry Connick Jr. is in it. Excellent. World War II, good movie. That's my pick.
Okay.
What do you got?
I would say probably Apocalypse Now, like you said, I would say. That's my favorite war, probably my favorite war movie. My favorite wartime movie is probably From Here to Eternity, which takes place just before. I mean, the climax is when Pearl Harbor was attacked. It's an army base in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Burt Lancaster and Donna Reed and Lana, what's her name? I just forgot her name. English actress. Just forgot her name. Montgomery Clift is in it. Deborah Carr.
Deborah Carr.
Anyway, it's a great.
Frank Sinatra.
And Sinatra won the Oscar supporting for his portrayal of Maggio, the best supporting actor, which is the whole Godfather thing we can get into, but that's a whole other. The way he got that role was depicted in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Somewhat fictional, but anyway.
So, Mark, we do ladies.
My favorite comedy.
Last year
my
at the father. Bar.
That's
reversed
the best.
Everywhere else in this game.
Yeah, except this bar.
Actually, it's between Apocalypse Now and Buck Privates.
Buck Privates. You know what?
See, wars can be funny.
Seriously, wars can be funny.
And that just goes. Abbott
and
Costello.
The Andrew Sisters make any war.
That makes it palatable. It's like if the Andrew Sisters are singing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, how bad can the Nazis be?
So, right? Mark, who you got? What's your best war movie?
Well, probably a modernistic modern movie would be Full Metal Jacket, but All Quiet on the Western
Stanley
Front.
Kubrick.
Yeah, that movie made Arlie Ermey a star, of course, because they no actor portrayed true...
Drill sergeant,
and a real drill sergeant. And
he does commercials still. He's still doing commercials.
Yeah,
that guy
he lives out in.
Hey, punk here! Hey, punk! He still does this.
Okay, Amanda, what's your favorite war movie?
That's probably one of the most recent ones. Is I love Saving Private Ryan, and then that same kind of vein is not a war movie specifically, but Schindler's List.
Schindler's List, good call.
Fantastic film.
Good call. Schindler's List is a good call.
Yeah.
You know what? Saving Private Ryan has a little bit of this, and Full Metal Jacket has a lot of it. Is war movies now are like it used to be like these guys were really like focused and they do the war now. Like since probably. What was the Black Hawk Down?
Uh-huh.
Now it's like...
No, it's bad.
Everybody's going different directions. It's like everybody's panicking and shooting and going crazy. And it used to be a lot more. And I don't know what the truth is because I was never in a war.
Right.
But I think it's...
But you played video games and that's close.
I don't know. I don't think it's that much panic. I think they're scared.
They're probably a little more organized.
I played paintball warfare once.
Okay, you're the biggest expert in the bar.
He's kind of a veteran. He's the veteran of the group.
And
so
let me tell you, within 1 minute, I was killed. It was like, I'm hiding behind the tree, and then blap, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a good simulation.
How quick it is.
It's dice.
Oh, look,
it's
we were
Vegas.
Talking before the podcast, and the recent one is Letters from Iwo Jima.
Oh, yeah.
It was also another
That's a great movie, yeah.
Very well
Yep.
It is, and
not quite as good as Flags of Our Fathers. You know, it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was the companion.
Oh, that was a tragic.
Two great movies.
Two great movies. Clint Eastwood, right?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome
and
director.
Where Eagles.
I had a. I can do a story. You can do a little story about Clint Eastwood.
Oh, you can do a Clint Eastwood story.
A Clint Eastwood story.
Okay. Well, let's go to our. You want to go to the mail?
Let's go to the Post-its. Yes,
the Post-its. We got a lot, and. So there's a curse that goes with the podcast, which
is really
bad for Clint Eastwood. Actually, right?
We did mention him,
but anyway,
let me see if I can override that. Toby Maguire.
The curse actually start. Who did the curse start with? I think it was the Denning sisters. We mentioned
the Denning sisters on the podcast.
Didn't.
Larry
Fine did.
Larry did not us.
And within a week.
One of the
Gene Denning died, and then we mentioned
Jackie Cooper as my favorite child star. Within 3 days, gone.
Boom! Jackie Cooper dies. Then we told a story about Jeff Conaway
in Butch
at the Collector
from the
show at the Butch Patrick fighting at the Collector show.
Yeah,
and within. Rick instant messaged me, but I got 3 emails plus Rick's instant message.
Yeah.
And this is just one of them saying, you have another podcast casualty in Jeff Conaway. What celebrity that you mentioned on the podcast will die next? Well,
Can
I just mention a name, whether it's a celebrity or not, see if it happens?
Okay.
Yeah. What celebrity do we know who it is?
I'm gonna just go for it right now. I'm going to say... Zsa Zsa Gabor, because I think she's running out of pieces. I mean, they've taken she was like in the hospital. They amputated a leg, and then she was out.
Is there another leg missing?
There's a leg and an arm missing now.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Oh, how terrible.
Yeah.
Imagine her rowing. What her rowing must be like.
The circle.
Right in a circle.
And but anyway, but
that's horrible.
I think Zsa Zsa is.
She's probably next.
She may be already dead.
But somebody might be, you know, these deaths that come out of nowhere that you weren't expecting. The people who are not old enough yet. Like Jeff Conaway, you figured.
He was 60.
The drugs, is, I think, what did him. I don't think it certainly wasn't natural causes.
Yeah.
Well, on a lighter note, is there such a thing as career
That was a light
death?
Note. That was
well,
a light
well,
note.
No, but I mean, is there a career death? Like, not actual
no,
death?
Pretty much
like,
everybody.
You have to stop breathing.
Everybody we talk about at the bar has already suffered career
death.
I mean, like Schwarzenegger.
They're not
I mean,
on
wow,
the most.
There's a big
guy.
You go,
we actually did
let me
talk
tell you,
about
if
it.
If you go on Yahoo and you go to the 10 most, what do you call that? When you go on Yahoo in the front page.
Oh, yeah.
Our guys aren't on.
Oh no, 10 most famous people.
Jackie Cooper was not on the.
No,
10
he's
most,
not on the list.
Whatever
no.
you call that.
But yeah.
when you.
But you know, as far as Jeff Conaway being on drugs, he lived till 60, which isn't old, but it's not young.
No.
And he's been doing drugs for 40 years, probably.
So he probably exceeded his life expectancy.
I think if you tell, I think that's a bad thing to try to tell kids: don't do drugs. You'll only live till 60. They're like
because when they're 8,
60 is
like
pretty
a long
good.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
right.
But I do like about Jeff Conaway is, and we talked about the Collector show and him fighting with Butch Patrick, but he did the classic celebrity thing. Is he claimed that he was addicted to painkillers from a injury he had during the filming of Grease, where he played Kaneki.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
That's what it started
That's
with.
That's where he started.
But didn't he do Taxi after that?
He did Taxi after that. Yeah. But celebrities always seem to have accidents that get them addicted to drugs.
They have accidents in their most, shooting of...
In their most famous role.
Like it was a sacrifice. Like, I got hurt, but it was worth it.
Yeah, like Chevy Chase claims that he got addicted to painkillers in Saturday Night Live doing pratfalls as Gerald Ford. He was
Jerry,
on there.
Hey, Jerry Lewis got addicted to Percodan.
In Nutty Professor.
Nope.
No,
he was on stage and he did like he flipped off of a piano, landed on his back and broke a couple vertebrae. So he started taking Percodan while it healed or whatever. I guess it healed, but it kept hurting. So he started taking Percodan. He got addicted to it.
Yeah. So there and you go. Elizabeth Taylor claimed that
she was a mess, man.
She hurt her back and
really?
Yeah, that was
she was like
claim.
10 years old.
I know.
Yeah, but she was getting pneumonia and everything.
Yeah, but Bela Lugosi was a World War One vet who got injured in World War One.
That's when he started.
Memorial Day.
That's where he got.
He started taking morphine.
Probably yeah. Morphine.
Yeah, World War One. Morphine was like the cure for everything.
Yeah.
And if you watch him walk in his movies, he has a very, very straight kind of. He has
that's
some back
of. He's a vampire. That's why vampires walk straight. Yeah. There's no hunching over for those guys. They wouldn't get the girls if they're hunched over.
Okay. So anyway, so that's
exactly,
so do you want to make a guess?
It's not exactly a question.
Well, they asked us who we thought. Right.
I'll say Tobey Maguire again.
Every time anybody from a sitcom dies, my initial reaction is, and Abe Vigoda is still alive.
Yeah. He's going to outlive
Fish
everybody.
Fish is going to outlive everyone in...
I got, invited to join his Facebook page, Abe Vigoda.
Did you really?
Yep. I did join Buck Henry's, but I didn't join Abe Vigoda's yet. So anyway.
You mentioned Buck Henry.
Yeah,
he's not that old.
Yeah, he's like melting down.
Buck Henry's not that
old. Well, yeah. Charlie Sheen.
I think the next death will be an old guy. It won't be a drug casualty. It'll be an old.
I disagree.
You think it'll be a drug guy? No.
Jeff Conaway's an old guy.
He's not an old guy for
he's
how
a younger
nowadays.
Guy. Younger.
You think he's going to be a younger guy?
I
think.
Nope.
Busey That's could happen. Boom.
I don't know.
Busey?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
But, yeah.
I think Charles Gabor is a good guess.
Yeah.
Just because she's in such bad shape.
Yeah.
She's who else? There's a lot of guys way up there, huh?
Yeah. But we see them all. Rick and I, we see people.
We frequent the...
Jonathan Winters is another one that could...
Yeah.
He's
pretty old.
He's up there.
He's pretty old. He's got to be... I know he's in his 80s for sure.
Yeah.
What about Phyllis Diller? She's old.
Phyllis Diller
is she's
90,
in pretty good
but
shape,
I've
though.
Actually
she's
seen her, and she's
still going.
She
she's
walks
still
upstairs,
kicking.
And she paints.
She's
and,
still funny.
And I have one of her paintings, which will probably double in value when she goes. But, yeah, so Zsa Zsa's
right.
To Jack in Michigan, Zsa Zsa Gabor. That's our...
All right, well, that'll be our consensus. All
okay,
right.
And, okay, this one is to Rick. This one is from D in San Francisco. Does Brian Wilson of the Giants have the most intimidating facial hair in sports?
And we talked about this, and I wish I could say oh, absolutely does. He's certainly the best closer in sports, but... We would go, I think the Fu Manchu and really long hair. I think someone like, what's his name for the Giants? Rod Beck.
Rod Beck, yeah.
Was pretty intimidating looking. He had really long, kind of curly hair.
The Ben Davidson and, Fu Manchu was pretty
and the
pretty intimidating.
Well, Ben Davidson just knows the hand, Ben Davidson had the handlebar.
Yeah, the handlebar. Yeah,
was in Fu Manchu.
Yeah,
but I think Rod Beck and who was the other one we were talking about?
Goose Gossage
and somebody else you mentioned.
Al Hrabowski.
Al Hrabowski, Matt Hungarian.
Kansas City
so Rocks. Those guys, yeah, the guys in the 70s with the really long hair, in the 80s with the really long hair, those guys probably. And Brian Wilson does, but he dyes his beard black and he has short. You know, short
what about
hair.
The Raleigh fingers?
It's not intimidating.
Didn't scare anybody,
did it? He looked like a shoeshine guy or something. He looked like a barber. He should be singing, you know?
But I, as far as facial hair goes, one of my favorite is the, and probably no, definitely Amanda doesn't remember this person, but Bob McAdoo in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
They would have an afro.
Yeah.
And then they would have sideburns that would turn into their mustache.
Mutton chops, yeah.
And Bob McAdoo, Artist Gilmore had that. Yep,
they all did.
And it was scary.
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
It was
that
like,
was a pretty intimidating
it was like
look.
A big afro and then a
big long sideburns that
sideburns
went into a mustache.
That went into a mustache.
And it always looks perfectly trimmed.
Yeah.
Just, it looked awesome, man. Yeah, yeah, I remember those guys.
So anyway, so yeah, so that's it.
Bob McAdoo, yeah.
Anybody else that we can think of with the weird facial hair? Athletes?
I can't think.
Well, if you watch the Fruit of the Loom commercials, Michael Jordan has a Hitler mustache now for some strange
he does.
Reason.
Yeah, he does.
And,
I don't think he realizes. I don't think he realizes.
That's a bad idea.
Well, he's got a little. He has a little thing below his lip,
it's
too.
Like a soul patch.
And a
Hitler mustache.
And a Nazi mustache. So, I don't know.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, he was sitting by himself on the plane, if you remember.
Okay. So anyway. So that's
rivers rolling over.
Okay, here's one where somebody just corrected me on something. I said Babe Ruth had the record for stealing home. I was wrong. See, this is the thing about being in a bar. If you say something confidently, you can be wrong, but people believe you.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially
anyway,
everybody else.
So Ty Cobb,
especially other people in the bar.
Ty Cobb scored, I had to look on the internet, and yes, Ty Cobb has 54 steals of home.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
That's
but Babe Ruth
steals home anymore.
Babe Ruth has 10, which is more than Maury Wills, more than Ricky Henderson, more than anybody. So anyway, so yes, Ty Cobb has 54.
Did they pitch on the stretch back in those days?
Well, they used to do that wind up back in those days where they do
like a windmill,
like Fred
windmill.
Flintstone or something,
or Bugs Bunny,
or Bugs Bunny, where they'd wind it
and then throw it really fast.
It goes like, you know. Anyway.
So I'm wrong. Yes, you're right. What's this guy's name? Ken in Michigan. Yes, I'm wrong. Thanks for telling me.
We love to be pointed out.
Okay, yeah, I like to be told I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, David in Los Angeles. What do you think about Sean Hayes being chosen to play Larry in the
I'm not crazy about
Fairly
it.
Brothers
personally,
comedy,
I don't know.
Stooges.
I mean, I'm no big expert, but
yeah.
I'm drinking so my mouth can stay shut.
No, but Sean Hayes did a good job playing Jerry Lewis, right?
Yeah, he was really good at Jerry Lewis. I don't know how Stooges... how he'd be, but you know, he's really talented. Like I say, he did a great job.
Wasn't Art Garfunkel available?
Oh, we got a phone call.
Go ahead and answer it. Go ahead. You get it.
Rick's Martini Bar.
Yeah. Hello. Is this the Martini Bar?
Yes, it is the Martini Bar.
This is Larry from
Larry Fine from Heaven.
This is Larry from Heaven. I only get about 2 minutes to talk on the phone up here. It's a lab. Well, it's not a lab. It's a cloud light.
You know, I am so glad that you called because we just
I
got
heard
a
about
question.
This. Well, I've listened to the podcast. I get it live up here.
I get it live.
Yeah,
it's great.
I have to tell you about what I think about this. Who was
Sean Hayes? Sean Hayes, he was in that TV show. What was the name of the show? Whatever it was. He's in a TV show, but he played Jerry Lewis. He's a good guy.
I think Jerry Lewis is very funny.
Will and Grace. He was in Will and Grace. He was great.
We'll get reception of his very bad. I've been dead since 1974. I haven't seen much TV. But I don't know what this Farrelly, who the Farrelly brothers are, if they're related to Ted Healy.
No.
I got to tell you, I'm not crazy about anybody imitating the Stooges.
Oh, come on. It'll make the Stooges more popular. It'll make and they this guy Will Sasso is playing Curly.
Oh yeah, okay.
I mean, you had your choice. Sean Penn was gonna play Larry.
You know when we started, we had myself, Bo, Ted Healy, and Shep. We didn't have these other fellas. I'm sure they're very talented gentlemen, but I don't think they could. And there was Ted Healy and Bo.
Okay.
And then Curly Joe and Joe Besser.
Larry. You're dead. You cannot play yourself. Who would you choose to play Larry Fine in a Three Stooges movie?
Not this one. I'm trying to think of an old character actor. What was this?
No, it has to be somebody alive.
Oh, alive. Well, this is going to be tough. I died in 74. This is 19...
I know you died in 74.
Yeah, this would be... I think that Steve Martin's pretty talented.
Steve Martin has white hair.
No.
And he's...
I heard something about a... what do they call it? The Wyatt's brothers?
They're black.
Oh.
They're African-American.
I live at table. Oh, I think my time's about up. Well, I only got three... There's a whole line behind me with this phone.
Larry...
You'd be surprised how few things are very nice up here. The parking is
Larry, bad. Thanks for calling. You know, call again, though, because when the movie's going to be out, and we want to hear what you think about it. But this guy's going to be good. I really think he's a good guy.
Well, you know, I have my doubts, of course, because quite a career show business. But I'll take your word for it. I'll take a look at it when it comes out, and I'll give you a call.
Okay, great, Larry.
I've got to go.
Thanks for calling.
It's time for my nap. I got to go.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
And thanks
for
all the movies, man. You were great.
Goodbye. You're awesome. Goodbye, everybody.
Larry Fine. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You can't believe having Larry Fine
calling
the bar. We are so lucky.
I don't know how he gets his... I don't know how he gets the number. How he can find it. But
and I don't know. Do we want to end it here? Or we want to do your story? Or you want to do the last question?
Just do a question. I'll do a quick story. Okay. And
last question, which
we'll light some fireworks up. No,
are you on the players or the owner's side in the football strike? I hope we play football. Sergio in
we'll
Los Angeles.
We'll play football with Sergio if he wants to throw the ball right on the street.
I'm
sure.
The NFL's. I hope something is resolved soon. So.
I usually am a player's guy when it comes to these types of things. I'm usually on the player's side.
Okay, well, I'm usually an owner's guy, but in this case, I'm a player's guy.
Yeah, so we're on the player's side.
Ridiculous.
I mean, they're being locked out. That's what's going to happen. They will be locked out. And
billionaires versus millionaires. We shouldn't care who wins, really. But it's I'm on the millionaire.
If you look at here, the difference between football and a lot of other sports is these guys' careers last on the average about 2.5 years. That's the average. So these guys, after they're done with football, I don't know what they're going to do. But I mean, a lot of these guys get hurt. A lot of these guys have injuries that last for the rest of their lives. So especially in this particular case, I side with the football players.
I have no doubt that the owners are not making a whole lot of money. But it's because they signed ridiculous, stupid contracts.
Right, nobody's forcing these guys to pay these guys.
And
mortgage everything for these gigantic stadiums.
Right.
Who's telling them to do that?
Shoot themselves in the leg and then go to jail for 3 years. And they still got to pay their salary.
And their bar tab.
And their bar tab.
And you know how much the parking is? You know how long his car has been out in that parking lot with valet parking?
Yeah.
Trust me.
So it's like they're asking us, or they're asking the players, okay, we're stupid. We sign these multi-million dollar contracts with guys that no longer play. So help us out. Chip in a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about that. Sergio, I hope we have football too.
Yes.
So. Amen.
Amen.
So I'll do a really quick Clint Eastwood story. Unless you want more questions, more post-its.
Nope. That's it. That's the last story. So it's Rick's story time.
This is really quick. I met Clint Eastwood at the... I wanted to meet Clint Eastwood at the Oscars really bad. He was up for... the boxing movie.
Oh,
Million Dollar Baby. And he was in the martini bar, and I really wanted to meet him because I heard he's a really nice guy. So I was in the martini bar. He's staring right next to me, Clint Eastwood. And I'm like, and I said, you know, and I was like, I think I was about 50 at the time. I don't know how old I was, even though I'm 35 now. At that time, I'm 50. And anyway, I said, you know, I said, Mr. Eastwood, I'm a really huge fan. I said, I love your work. I said, I just want to thank you for... I mean, you're really an inspiration to the people like me who are like over 40, who are in the film business still, and we're still doing stuff. But you're like, a lot of us think, it's too late for me to do anything really great. And here you are, your age, and you've done this amazing work, and you're like, you're an inspiration to us, you know, kind of older guys, that we still can do some really good stuff. And he said, kid, you know, he's like, oh, kid. No, I won't imitate him, but he said, you know, that's really nice. I said, you know. He said, you know, don't sell your things. What do you do? And I told him I was an animator and stuff. He goes, well, you know, what's going to happen, kid? He says, one of these days, about 10 years from now, I'm going to be sitting on my front porch. I'm going to be like this old man on my rocking chair. I'm going to sit on my front porch watching the Oscars. And I'm going to see you walk up there and get an award. And I'm going to go, yeah, I remember that guy. I remember talking to him.
That's great.
That was it. And he was really, and we talked for a couple of minutes, but he was really, really cool. So that was
a really nice guy.
Sweet.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Wasn't that nice?
And great films. I mean, those spaghetti westerns he did
are awesome.
So good. Yep. Sergio Leone.
Yep.
They are so...
I bet you learned a lot of his directing technique from him.
You think so?
You look at Uninvited.
Unforgiven.
I mean, The Uninvited's a great movie, too. That's Ray Milland, but... Yeah, it's like, yeah. You look at that movie, like, there's a lot of the Sergio Leone techniques
so
in there.
I think it's great that he's such a lean and mean. He's a committed filmmaker. A lot of filmmaking today is like they'll shoot 100 takes and then figure it out later. He'll shoot one or two and know
what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always on budget, always on time, just a streamlined guy.
Yep.
And so, he knows what... And he knows how to make a movie for the people.
Yeah.
He knows how to... He doesn't get too artsy.
No. I mean, he doesn't. But they're always really intelligent.
They're good. They're well made. Yep. They're good. But they don't go to some level where they're not entertaining.
Nope.
You know?
Nope. So that... Yeah.
So anyway, we've got a couple of plugs we got to mention for our podcast. And by the way, thanks for joining us for the podcast. And tell your friends. You can... download this podcast
$11.99 for two podcasts free
at www.mccartymetro.com. Be a friend of us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook at Rick's Martini Bar, and you can
be on our
friends list. We get lots of people on there, and also visit PB Imaging, and you can get a little piece of that. Peter over there at PB Imaging will take care of your business cards, any printing you need.
Yes.
And we love Peter.
Where'd you go?
And also audible.com, where you can download an audiobook. And I'm sure you'll find something great about war movies or something that you can find. There's got to be something.
With lots of gruesome pictures, too.
Yeah, there's got to be. So anyway, thanks for joining us. And we will see you next time at Rick's Martini Bar.
Cheers.
Mark, thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. This was great.